Welcome to the Smiles Matter podcast by Microdental Laboratories. I'm Laura Kelly, and I'm pleased to host our series, Winning Strategies for Today's Dental Practice.
If you can really dial in a surgeon, a lab technician, and all three can work together, magic happens. It really does. I mean, if your surgeon really can understand the prosthetics, whereas just not the surgery, because you can put implants in bone, but is that where the tooth is supposed to go? That's the key.
Dental technology is impacting all areas of dentistry, offering a higher level of precision, efficiency, and predictability to treatment workflows. As innovation continues to transform how clinicians practice dentistry, patient awareness regarding treatment options has opened new opportunities for dental practices. Access to technology, continuing education, and training resources are available and accessible like never before. To share his experience and views about the state of the profession regarding implant dentistry, the advantages of incorporating digital technologies, education, and the advancements with implant dentistry, we have an expert with us today who will share an inspiring and insightful view. I am pleased to introduce Dr. Pat Lillis, who graduated from Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with a Bachelor of Science degree in Biomedical Science, and then went on to graduate from Creighton University School of Dentistry in Omaha, Nebraska. Dr. Pat Lillis is among a network of highly experienced dentists from around the country who routinely work together and discuss the latest dental technologies. In addition to his private practice, Dr. Lillis is recognized as a keynote speaker for several leading dental manufacturers and is known as an effective and engaging educator by his peers. I hope you enjoy the conversation today, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. Hi, Dr. Lillis. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Laura, for having me. It's truly an honor. It's always an honor, and whenever you ask me to do, I will be here. So thank you for having me.
Well, I'm going to have to ask a lot more then. That's what we'll do. Well, gosh, I've been really looking forward to this episode because this is related to something that's near and dear to all of us in dentistry, and that would be implant dentistry. And curious, just what is it that you're seeing? What's your opinion of the state of the profession regarding implant dentistry today?
You know, I guess that this is a little background. This is my 18th, probably going on 19th year of dentistry. So I think I've seen, you know, implants go from all the way back to UCLA abutments to impression cylinders to digital scanning abutments to milled bars. So it's absolutely going at Mach 10. And it's such an exciting time, I think, to be just in not only in implant dentistry, but just in dentistry in general, because there's so much incredible technology that's going on. Things are beginning so predictable. In fact, I just took a scan of a posterior tooth 18-19, delivered a couple implant crowns today, and it took me about, I think, 7.5 to 8 minutes to deliver those restorations. And so just no adjustments. And that's kind of what we're seeing consistently with digital. And that is just mind-boggling compared to when you and I first started doing implants all the way back when. So
yeah, you're right. You know, digital technologies and everything is just moving at such a rapid, like you said, Mach 10 pace we've got going on. And particularly, you know, since the, we'll call it pre-pandemic and now, you know, dealing with the last couple of years, fast forward, what any key differences that you've observed during that specific time frame?
You know, I've seen more people that want to do dentistry post-pandemic. And it's interesting that, you know, we closed our doors for 6 to 8 weeks, depending on where we were, and sometimes longer. Some venues were longer. But we saw a lot of pent-up demand after COVID come out of the day. And we saw a lot of teeth breakdown. We saw a lot of tooth loss. We saw a lot of neglect. And we saw a lot of people that came in initially. And then we saw a lot of people that just stayed away for a couple of years. And so teeth became non-restorable. We had a lot of vertical root fractures, things of that nature. So we've seen just an explosion on the implant world. But also, which has been interesting to me, which I didn't expect, is we've seen a lot of edentulous cases move forward with implant treatment. So what was typically a denture patient now has turned into a hybrid denture patient or an all-arch and ceramic case, whereas in the past, we just had more of a lag with that. People were more apt to maybe choose other options. So pre-post-pandemic, I've seen more edentulous cases as far as engaging implants. And we've seen just more of a pent-up demand for implants in general.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that because it's something that, you know, during the lockdown, we were talking about that very topic. Like we were thinking, okay, we are going to see an increase in dentures, right? And some of the partial business, which we have, but we didn't think that the implants were going to explode the way that they did. And what do you attribute that to, you think? People have more time to do research and figure it out? Or is the profession doing a better job of communicating the benefits of implants? What do you think?
I think all of the above. I think people, you know, people were home for a long time and they're on their computers. And so they were Googling, you know, they were Googling dentists, they were Googling implants, they're Googling teeth. And that's because that's been kind of what I've asked our patients when they come in. I say, you know, how did you find us? What, you know, what brought you in? How do you, what's motivating you at this point? And they'll say, you know, during COVID, I was at home, I was on my computer, and I just started researching. I've never really liked my teeth. I had really time to look at my teeth, and I've like had time to really figure out what I wanted to do. And so, you know, they saved their money too. Let's be honest. They weren't discretionary spending kind of went out the door. So all of a sudden they were really focusing towards dentistry. And so I think that, and I think, I don't know about your other listeners and other dentists that you talk to, but what did I do during lockdown? Well, I met with my web guy and we basically went over my website and fine tuned it and really kind of honed in and really kind of just sharpened that up a little bit. So I think that probably had something to do with it too. So I think it's a kind of a culmination of a lot of different things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We're hearing some of the same sentiments too. And, you know, I'm curious too, in your opinion, you know, what you've seen, if you could talk about maybe some of the main improvements or advancements in implant dentistry, you know, over the last, I don't know, year in your experience.
Yeah, digital and zirconia. I think that's really truly where I've seen the biggest advancements is on the technology sector. And so I always kind of go back again to the edentulous cases where, you know, as a resident, we were waxing casting bars, we were laser welding bars. I mean, I just shudder to think how we used to do things, but that's how we did it. And, you know, nowadays we'll take a tooth setup and we'll scan that and then we'll retrofit a CAD/CAM mill bar underneath the teeth, which is just completely mind-boggling how that's done now. And so it's much, much better than it used to be, like quantum leap better. And that, and then the zirconia frameworks, the full arch zirconia frameworks are just absolutely beautiful. They're strong, they're predictable, you know, and back when we used to do full arch ceramics on implants, my gosh, I mean, the lab bill and the time and effort were really just truly almost insurmountable to the point where we just didn't do a whole lot of them. And now with the full arch zirconias and milled and everything and the technology, we're just doing more and more of those. The gap has definitely closed and we're able to offer our patients a lot more fixed zirconia than we were in the past. So I would say that. And then you can kind of boil it all the way down to just a single teeth. Like I mentioned, you know, scanning abutments, and we're able to scan posterior teeth. You know, the posterior tooth is probably the biggest practice builder that I think we have, and something that gets totally glossed over. And if you can really have a posterior tooth go smoothly, I am just amazed on how many new patients come in because that posterior tooth went really well. And so I think if we can scan, let's say in no anesthetic, so like 18, 19, 30, 31 posterior teeth, you can scan those, you can send it to your laboratory, and you can deliver those restorations and really hardly any time with no anesthetic. I mean, people are really blown away by that.
Mm-hmm. And then you're setting the stage that, okay, in the patient's mind, that it's such a great experience that something more complicated is going to be benefited with this technology as well. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And then also the planning side, you know, we're CBCTs and intraoral scanning, we're merging those two data sets and we're planning, we're talking to our surgeons a lot more than we used to in the past. You know, a lot of the times a surgeon was always just kind of off on the island just doing surgery, and that's not the case anymore. Our surgeons are actively engaged in the planning process along with our laboratory technicians. So what an exciting time to have the surgeons and us and the technicians all planning together so that our outcomes are just better, and it's just decreased the stress in the dental office tremendously.
Wow. Decrease. That's a whole podcast interview right there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting older, Laura. I'm looking at making things easier, not harder.
So. Right. Right. And you know, the benefit is to the patients. And, you know, I'm wondering here how, you know, what you're seeing in regards to the dental community, when things happen quickly, sometimes education, everything, you know, you got to catch up real quick, right, to get it out there. What are you seeing that how our dental community could benefit, you know, with, you know, the education implant dentistry and how that's evolving? If you could speak to that.
I think education, you know, that's the biggest thing, honestly, is what did education look like pre-pandemic and what did education look like post-pandemic? And, I think when we were during the lockdown, we thought, well, gosh, it's just everything's going to be on the internet. We're going to be able to do web-based education. It's going to be great. And I was thinking, this is great because I don't have to get on an airplane and fly anywhere to do a lecture, and this is just going to be tremendous. And what I found is that it's kind of a hybrid now. We have a lot of education that's gone online, and a lot of it's terrific. But dentists really are relationship people, relationship to our patients, relationship to our technicians and other friends of ours. And so we crave relationships. And so in-person lectures are still alive and well, and people are flocking to those. And I think really picking out a continuum where, one module builds on the other, because the biggest thing that I'm seeing when I'm lecturing is digital dentistry is so overwhelming that a lot of dentists are trying to figure out, where do I start? And so if you can find curriculums and courses that are modularized, where you have step one, step two, step three, step four, and you can go over the steps of sifting some of this out for dentists with really non-biased information, this is stuff that we're using in our practice. That's where I think a lot of your listeners are probably going to those places and trying to help have people sift out this technology, because while it's great, it can be overwhelming too. So I think have a step-by-step program where we can really make it cookie cutter in bite-sized pieces so everybody dentist can truly digest it and not become overwhelming, I think is really the path forward.
I agree. And I know I'm going to touch on that a little bit further here, but I really wanted to ask you about, speaking to the dentists that are considering enhancing their skills in implant dentistry, or maybe adjusting, the way they might approach an implant case. How do you speak to that? How do you bring that awareness up? How would I, know? How would a dentist know it's time for me to do something like that?
I think it starts with simplicity in a sense of when to save a tooth, when not to save a tooth. It's kind of crazy that we talk about something so easy, but it's probably something I see get botched every day. And how to really walk through that decision with them, when to save a tooth, when not to save a tooth, how to diagnose and treatment plan the case effectively, and really opening dentists' eyes and inspiring them. And that really kind of comes within, right? I think dentists kind of go through, and including me, I'm a private practitioner. I work full time. And really, I look at my career and think, okay, gosh, when I started, what did I do? And what did I do now? What was a turning point kind of in my brain? And I think it's really the relationship part. It's reaching out to mentors and having mentorship and really being inspired, because a lot of people don't really know what they don't know. And I think when you can go to a course, or you can find a mentor, and you can really get inspired, I think that's what's going to trigger a dentist to really move the needle and say, okay, I want to go out and I want to seek that education. I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. But if they don't have any really mentorship, they're really not going to be inspired. And I think that is really the key to our profession. That's just
Oh my
kind of my
goodness.
opinion.
Yeah, we've always learned together, and even, dental technicians and dentists side by side. I know I've learned so much spending more time chairside, and being able to take those experiences back to the lab has been very, eye-opening for me personally and professionally. And it seems what you're speaking to now too, that, establishing a really strong partnership between the restoring dentist and the dental surgeon would really be a pivotal point in all of this too.
100%. And I would throw the lab technician in there too. We can't do what we do without really, really great technicians. Let's be honest. I mean, we can cut the most beautiful preparations and do beautiful scans and really do beautiful dentistry. But if the laboratory can't deliver, then it really doesn't. It's a true partnership. And so, like I said, if you can really dial in a surgeon, a lab technician, and all three can work together, magic happens. It really does. I mean, if your surgeon really can understand the prosthetics, whereas just not the surgery, because you can put implants in bone, but is that where the tooth is supposed to go? That's the key. And so, I think our surgeons need our help. They need our guidance as far as, my surgeon and I talk all the time. He says, and vice versa. I'll say, I want to do this, this, and this, and this. He's like, I think that's great that you want to do that, but I don't have the bone to do that. And I can't do this, this, and this, and this. And so that's where the collaboration goes in. And that's where the technician comes in and be like, okay, you guys want to do this and this and this, but we can't really do that on our end. And so that's where the collaboration is absolutely so key. But if you can get really one lab and one surgeon and us, that really truly does make things very, very simple, and you get predictable results over and over again, because your surgeon knows what you want and vice versa. And your technician knows, and everybody knows exactly what each other wants. And that's really, I think that's where the magic happens. I really do.
Yeah. And, you know, you point out something with, you know, implants and digital workflows and technologies. And, you know, how have you seen that? And is it a struggle with some labs? And does it, you know, how are you seeing that evolving between this trifecta relationship?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've had technicians where, you know, they were really slow to digital, and they were giving me reasons why they didn't want to do digital. And so I think what digital has done, and I got to, I don't want to dovetail and get too much off on a tangent, but right. You know, I wasn't trained on digital when I was a resident. I mean, we were taking impressions and doing wax ups by hand and everything. And so, you know, I was doing a lecture in Wisconsin, and I had guys raise their hands. They say, "When are you going to talk about digital?" And I told them, "Well, that's not what this lecture is about." Blah blah blah, and they walked out. And so, on the ride home, that's when I bought my first scanner, and I said, "Well, I really need to start." So I got digital for all the wrong reasons, and what I found was so much, it's just so much better. I look back and I think, gosh, this is so much easier than it used to be. But that doesn't mean that you still have to know the fundamentals of fixed and removable prosthodontics. You still have to know facially generated right. treatment planning. It doesn't take the place of that, but the imaging and the capturing and the planning are just so much easier, and it's just decreased the stress level so much more than it used to.
Really streamlines communication between the team too, you know?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of team, you know, the other part of this is really the dentist team, right? Your team. What can they, you know, what do dentists need to do? You think about, you know, when it comes to providing additional implant, you know, support for patients. How does your team fall into that?
Probably the most important part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really having your team have the same vision as you. I mean, this is a whole nother podcast and probably an all day lecture, but really having the team buy in and sharing the same core values and the same vision that you have, and really trusting that you know that you all have each other's back. And so what I mean by that is, like, let's say you're in hygiene and you're hygienist and you have different philosophies and different opinions. Well, the patient's going to get caught in the middle of that tug of war, and that's not going to help. So if you can all get on the same team and share the same vision, same core values, again, that's where magic happens, right? And so that's where I think your team is so important, because we can't, as dentists and clinicians, we cannot be everywhere at all times. And so we really, truly depend. I mean, I depend on my team each and every day to communicate the dentistry to the patient, so I have a broad knowledge of what's going on. And then two, delivering the quality and delivering a statement to, hey, listen, if you don't do the treatment, this is the ramifications of no treatment and things of that nature. So having verbal skills to talk to patients and really, but sharing in that vision, sharing in those core values, everybody on the same page, everybody oriented in the same direction. That to me is huge. I mean, we can't be everywhere at all times. So having the team involved is, I can't do what I do without my team, period.
None of us can. I couldn't agree more. And this is a nice dovetail into, yeah, I really want to hear more about the education. I know that you've got I love what you're doing, you know, and I love the curriculum that I've seen and the series of courses that you're teaching. Can you speak a little bit about that?
I can. So this is my passion, right? So this is something that I took a look, Laura, and I looked and said, okay, what, as a private practitioner, what are my options out there? What would I want to see as for continuing education? What would I want? And so what I did is I did this during COVID. I sat down and I said, okay, what would I want? And I basically just took a white piece of paper and scribbled all over it. And I said, and then I came up with this course, and basically it's similar to what I just mentioned. So we have a course that we're offering now. It's called the Implant Training Academy. It's in conjunction with Noble Biocare. And basically what it is it's a 4-session course, and it spreads throughout about 6 months. In session one, we invite the entire dental team. So you just mentioned team. Mm-hmm. I invite the entire, we invite all the dentists, we invite their teams. Because in CE, I said, you know, there's all this great continuing education. I go to these courses, I come back, I talk to my team about it, but I go, wouldn't it be cool if my team could be there with me? But I'm like, but I'm not going to drag them all over the place. So we fly into the venue, the oral surgeon or periodontist picks their 12 or 15 referrals that they want to set the course up, and then and has a laboratory there, and microdental is part of our collaboration. And we come in and we say, okay, let's bring the team in for session one. And so the whole team comes in and we talk about how to schedule, how to block schedule, how to identify your core values. We basically speak to the dentist and the team for the entire day. It is a fun day. So then after that, we dismiss and we go home. And then the dentist will bring a case to sessions 2 and 3. So session 2 and 3 is on a Friday and Saturday. And the dentist is bringing a case and presenting it in front of the group. And we help them diagnose and treatment plan the case. And this is where I've seen lives change. I've seen dentists come into these 2 days and they say, going in one direction, and they completely leave transformed. So we talk about, I empty the clip or I talk about tooth wear, I talk about vertical dimension, loss of EDO, and diagnosis and treatment planning, the different options. I go through steps, how we do it, how we present to the patient, our photography, our verbal skills, our consultation, how to run the art of a consultation, everything. And the technicians are there too to talk about in the laboratory, this is how we do our digital workflows. This is the workflow for on this case. So once the case is treatment planned, then the technician comes in and talks about how they're going to execute the lab side of things. And then the surgeon comes in and talks about surgery, how they're going to do the surgery, how they're going to do, are we going to do a sinus lift? Are we going to do quasi-gomas? Are we going to do this, that, whatever? And then we basically go through all 12 to 15 docs in the course. And we go through, I mean, I've had courses where we've diagnosed and treatment planned 50 implants all the way up to 150 implants. Wow. And I've had docs bring in one case. I've had docs bring in 7 to 8 cases. And it's just an incredible 2 days. It just really, truly is an incredible 2 days. It's just a massive amount of learning. Your head is going to hurt at the end of session 3. And then session 4, we reconvene and we touch base on those cases. So that's several months later. I say, okay, where are we with this case? And we hold each other accountable. We say, okay, that case was presented, but where is it? Are they in treatment? Are they not in treatment? Were the implants placed? What are we talking about? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we talk about marketing. So we talk about marketing, and then I talk about occlusion. And so there's a lot of information. So there, I basically took my practice, I filleted it open, and I basically put it in these 4 sessions. And they get everything. I give them absolutely everything. And here's the biggest thing, implementation. So remember dentists that would go to these courses and they'd come back and they'd be all charged up on Monday, right? Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday, what happens?
Back to normal.
Back to normal, right? So we don't do that. We talk about implementation because it doesn't do us any good to talk about this stuff and get everybody charged up if we're just going to go right back to where we started. So, you know, we talked about digital. I talked about my digital journey and how I incorporate intraoral scanning into the practice, how I incorporated the CBCTs. I sift through all of that. And then I show them concrete examples of how we do it with patients all the time, day in, day out. It's literally my practice onto them. Mm-hmm. And my practice is just a culmination of a mentorships for friends and mentors for years and years and years and years. So it's not just mine. It's really a collaborative endeavor.
Well, you're creating this community of people that are learning together, and then you have a nice support team, you know, that you're creating afterwards that they can stay connected and help, you know, help each other along the way. I love it. You know, there's so much passion and experience and momentum, you know, and I think the way that you've got it spread out over the period of time and the content is what makes it unique and flying into a particular region. That's why, I mean, one of the reasons we're excited to partner with you because you're you, you know, and we know what you produce and how you communicate and how you teach and inspire, but also coming into you know, the different communities where we've got a lot of on-site availability inside of our labs to do this in communities where dentists can easily get there and get their teams there is very unique. So we're very, very excited about this in 2023 and beyond, Dr. Lillis. So thank you. And you've been in this profession for a while. I've been in it for a while. And I was wondering, just as we wrap up, if there's any words of advice that you could give to the new generation of dentists that are interested in learning about restoring implants.
Just go for it. You know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do something. You know, I mean, when I first started my practice, I've had a 3 operatory practice for 18 years. I practice out of 1. My hygienist uses 2. I share this one with her overflow with her. People thought I was crazy. And, you know, they always tell me that I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to them. And surround yourself with mentors to the younger dentists. Really surround yourself with mentors. because they will absolutely inspire you and guide you and help you not make mistakes that we made. And you're going to make mistakes, and we're all going to make mistakes. Like, I mean, that's just part of being in clinical practice for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. But having mentorship, I think, is probably the most important thing you can do in dentistry, because without mentorship, we're just kind of on an island, and it's really kind of lonely. And we don't really get better by doing that. So I can tell you, with, you know, my 3 to 5 best friends in dentistry, I mean, we really are constantly talking to each other every single day. I mean, texting every day. Hey, what about this case? What about that case? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you doing this? I mean, I cannot tell you, if I didn't have those people in my life, I don't know where I would be. I really don't. I just don't know where I'd be. It just wouldn't be enjoyable. And so, I would be so further down the road. I really would. So, I mean, that to me is really important. And then implants are changing constantly all the time. I think continuing education is important. I think talking to your reps. I mean, the reps have a tremendous knowledge of what's the latest and greatest out there. And I think sometimes we discount the reps, and that's really unfair, because they're the ones that honestly know what's coming down the road. They know the new products. They know this. So I think it's, you know, I try to make it a point to meet with my reps once a quarter and say, you know, what's new? What's the latest and greatest? And it's about, you know, it's 15 to 20 minutes to touch and base. I think that's important. So especially with implants, with all the digital technology that's going on, it's just changing all the time. So I would just immerse yourselves into it. And people say, you know, where do I start? I say, just go, just start, just go today. Get a scanner, get going, you know, attend one of our courses, attend another course that inspires you, but just get going. And don't let anybody tell you you can't do anything, because I love this job. I think it's the best job on the face of the earth. And I get so disappointed when I see dentists that really don't like it. And there's a myriad of reasons, and that's a conversation unto itself. But that's one of the reasons we set these courses up, is so we can inspire people and really truly love this profession, because this is such a great job. It really is. And so we just want to share that and really inspire the next generation, because they're the future, right? I mean, I'm going to be going out the door, and then they're coming up. So we need to have people replace us.
You're not leaving anytime soon. Yeah.
I hope not, because
you're not. You can't. You just made me think of something else, and I wanted to ask real quick, because I think it's important with how many different choices there are when it comes to, you know, implant companies, parts, components, all of that. How important is that to you, and how do you, what's your mindset with that? Tell me what you've learned and what you'd like to share.
Yeah, big. OEM parts is becoming a big deal, meaning that authentic componentry. So I tell the residents, I tell other dentists that we work with, that, and other dentists in general, and it's in a lot of my lectures, is it doesn't matter what system you're using, use their componentry. So if you have a NobelCare implant, you want to use a NobelCare abutment. If you're using DentSupply, you want to use an Atlantis abutment, because it matters. And what I'm seeing in clinical practice is I'm seeing all kinds of corner cutting. And what ends up happening is that we start to see implant fracture, we start to see bone loss, we start to see screw loosening, screw fractures. It's becoming a real issue. They weren't engineered together. And so a good friend of mine, Dr. Brent Ludens in Waterloo, Iowa, speaks with our group, and he has a whole lecture on authentic componentry, and he has slide after slide after slide after slide of fractured implants and what the ramifications are. And so I think a lot, and honestly, I think a lot of dentists just don't know. I don't think they're looking for it. And so partner with good labs like Microdental and really, you know, that they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're using good authentic componentry. It's so important. And request that on your lab slip, because ultimately at the end of the day, we are the ones that are going to be held responsible. So if there's a problem in somebody's mouth, they're going to go after the dentist. So we need to be held responsible. We're doing it, and really request authentic componentry. Use their abutments, and don't let anybody tell you differently. Don't let anybody tell you that it doesn't make a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. And that's, like I said, Brent has about a 4-hour lecture on why it makes a difference. So I wouldn't even like steal his thunder, but it's very, very good. It's very, very eye-opening.
Yeah. Just set it up for success, right? Good advice. Really good advice.
Yeah, spend the extra 30 bucks and do it correctly.
Yeah. And the other thing you'd probably recommend is go hang out with your lab, right? Go to your lab and hang out with your lab technician. That's always fun to be able to see and learn and, you know, collaborate together on site there.
Yeah, here's a novel idea. Ask your lab technician what they think and what they need. And we have to be humble enough to have our lab technicians tell us when they want something redone and we have to redo it if we need to, or give feedback on our preparations, mm-hmm. or give feedback on our scans or our impressions, and give us feedback on how we can get better. Because I think sometimes we don't, you know, we as dentists, sometimes we can be egotistical maniacs, and we really just truly need to humble ourselves and ask the technicians what they need and how we can get better, you know, and sometimes they'll let you know, and it's kind of a tough pill to swallow, but we're not going to get any better by not doing that. So I would say communicate with your technicians, ask them what they need to make their jobs easier. And in return, I think what you'll see is you'll have really happy technicians. And then and the other thing too, show your lab the final results, because, you know, we take all the pictures, we post them on our websites, we put them all in our lectures, but nobody ever thinks to send them to their technician. Thing is, say thank you. Like if a case goes really well, tell them like, hey, I put this in and I seated this crown in like literally 3 minutes. It was incredible. The anatomy was beautiful. The cusp angles were incredible. I didn't touch it. You know, tell them those things, because people at the bench just don't get that. It goes out the door and then they never see all that. They never see the wins. So share the wins with your technicians.
Oh, that's really nice. And it goes both ways, right? The communication. I like it when I hear technicians complimenting, you know, a doctor on their scan or their preparation or the way they've completed all of the information to make it clear on the RX. I think we both need that, right? We everybody wants to know what's working and what areas need to be improved. So open communication is really important. And I'm just excited about these series that are coming up. And thank you for your time today. And we look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, all the team at Microdental. You guys are the best. So thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Smiles Matter podcast. For more information, you can go to our website, www.microdental.com/Smiles Matter podcast, or find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or anywhere else podcasts are available. Thank you for listening, because we believe that smiles matter.